Hello, podcast family. My name is Duncan Wasiwa, and welcome to another episode in our Farmer Mentor podcast series. As always, this is where the wisdom of seasoned farmers and mentors meets the needs and enthusiasm of new era farmers. Ratale Bush Masiu is a passionate farmer from a 700-hectare farm near Bloemfontein in Free State. With a focus on cattle, sheep, goats, maize, and sunflowers, Ratale shares his journey into farming, starting from his initial career aspirations in law to becoming a dedicated agriculturalist. In this insightful discussion, Ratale shares his effective farm management strategies, his financial management and budgeting techniques for running a successful farming operation, and so much more. My brother, it's so good to chat with you. You and I spoke last in 2020.
Well, do I read what you think, my brother? And he's been a long while. It's a pleasure to be on your podcast again.
Yeah, man, it's really lovely hearing your voice again and also just checking in. You heard now in the beginning when I introduced you, I talked about over 200 head of cattle. I'm not sure if that is still the case. You've probably grown, you've probably shifted in a different direction, but we'll hear exactly now what the situation is. For those who don't know you, maybe just briefly introduce yourself.
No, my name is Ratale Masiu, better known as Bush. Like you said, my brother, I farm in the Free State, doing his farming, and smartly we have grown from 300, we are now 20, so we are now talking about almost 300 head of cattle. Now that's great improvement. And we are also having increased our length in terms of the grains. Last time I spoke to you, we're doing about 180. Right now we are doing almost 300 hectares of grains.
That's impressive. What breed are you focused on? Is it a mixed breed when it comes to cattle, or do you focus on a specific breed?
It was a Mburi breed that we got from the department, but before that we had our own head of kind of Belgrave and Faceland. But right now our livestock, our cattle in particular, is dominated by the Bronze Marder breed.
Let's get started. You know, you quickly introduced yourself. For those who haven't heard the story, maybe just briefly a summed up version. What motivated you to get into agriculture? Because I remember you have a background in law. Take us through that journey.
I was born on a farm with both my parents being farm workers. My father was a manager and worked there for 32 years, and my mom was a dairy supervisor for 32 good years. And growing up, I was a head boy until 1992 when I went to high in Senegal. Even though my dream was to become a legal leader, but something was always bringing me back to the land. And by the way, I'm still going to complete my law degree, but that's what decorate my parents' room beside with it.
It's great that you haven't given up on the dream, because I remember you telling me the story back then. It's great to hear that that is still something that you're pursuing. Take us through your farming portfolio, because I remember that you don't just farm with cattle, but there's also sheep and goats. Take us through the different elements of your farm, also the crops, the plant side. What does that look like?
We only have the head of cattle. It's bring that of Kwangelberg and Friedland. That's the cow that my father had while he was still living at the farm as a farm worker. But then later on, when he got a land to live, private living, by the way, the department helped us with about 90 maybe, and then 48 enough, 18, became part of the Farming Jobs Fund program. And we were helped with about 35 head of cattle, both marav and a bull. So on the planting side, we are planting soya, sunflower, and maize. And as for sheep, we reduced them immensely because we experienced some stock theft this side. We had about 200, but let's reduce them to 50 for, you know, cultural purposes and for those who are in use of them. But we no longer farm much on sheep.
I've been hearing a lot that sheep farmers, they're either decreasing the amount of sheep that they keep on the farms, or they're completely focusing on something else. And what are the reasons being stock theft? And the plant side of the farm, when did that come into play? You mentioned sunflower and maize. Yeah. Has that always been a part of the business, or did that come much later?
They all came much later. I think we got the farm in 2017. and the lands were very useful because the previous owner had just planted the land. It was about 17 years before we got here. So we don't have to plant in 2019 and our news were not good. We only planted maize in that year. We only got the bootiness in 2020, whereby we thought about only 7 pounds per hectare on dry land. We had everything vegan from 2019 till now.
Was that a business decision to go into maize and sunflowers? What was the reason for you sort of diversifying your farming portfolio?
It's really important to diversify when you are on your farm. And I'm going to see that. Let me make a typical example. Just in 2021, just after COVID, we experienced foot and mouth on the cattle side. Now you can imagine it was going to be very difficult for us to survive had we not planted. So you only have to try to balance. You don't put all the eggs in one basket. This year, we were experiencing these heat winds and clouds, and we know for sure that the cattle side, the livestock side, which is also affected. Hence, the revenue decided to do diversification on the farm.
That's quite important, diversification. Take us through your approach when it comes to managing all of this, the cattle, the maize, the sunflower, the sheep. I can't imagine that it's an easy approach. How do you approach managing all of that?
When it comes to farming, time and planning are key most important. For example, with crop production, you must have a seasonal plan and a pretty stick to it. When you tend to prepare the soil, When you tend to plant, just plant. And also, you must plan ahead of the season. You must not plan in season. Because should you experience any problems in season, then it means you won't be on time. And that will cost you a lot. Same goes for livestock production. You must have your feeding program stick to it. You must also have your vaccination program stick to it. Don't try to dodge because shortcuts you feel is a wrong cut. And with planning, there are no shortcuts, certainly.
You mentioned planning ahead of the season and not planning in the season. Yes. What are some of the things that you take into consideration when you are making those plans?
Number one, you must check your machinery. If you don't have your own machinery, you know, to prep the soil or to plant the soil, you must beforehand contact the possible contractors who can help you with soil preparation and planting. But with these contractors, they have a list. So if you don't plan ahead, you got to plan new things. You'll be left on their list. And it doesn't matter whether they planted big or what. As long as they planted big number of hectares, you have to pay them. Whether you're going to get good things from that lady or whatever, from that harvest team, it is not their business. So it just entirely with you to plan ahead.
Yeah.
Your quotations, your fertilizer quotations, your critical quotations, your seed quotations, do yourself something, get well analysis and so forth. And the result, so that you know how much you need of fertilizer, you know how much you're going to need of chemicals, all those things. You need to do all those things before the planting season. Heaven say you should plan ahead.
And I suppose the focus on the soil testing is important because you can't expect for the results of your soil to be the same that it was last year. And that's why testing every year is important.
It is very imperative to test your soil in the climate. And even though many people are saying creating funny, that is not extended. I mean, it is actually the right way of doing your things because you get to know very well how much of everything you need on your soil, and that's it. Mm. And in a way, it cuts your cost.
When it comes to infrastructure, water availability, and the grazing conditions on your farm, have you experienced any challenges when it comes to those three things? And how do you overcome those challenges? Maybe starting with infrastructure and water.
When you go to this farm, the infrastructure and the water system were still intact. But we had to do sort of improvement here and there. And when these certain guys came on that project, they also helped with our reservoir. Two of our reservoirs were not waiting yet. So they helped in those reservoirs as well as the working kind of our crowd. They also helped there. But everything, fortunately, we have worked in it. So our people maintain the ability if you want to kill them in what state of use.
And when it comes to the grazing conditions of your farm, any challenges there and how do you address these challenges?
We don't have grazing challenges, except the fact that now it's drought, but fortunately enough, we have enough terms and we also have rotational grazing plan that we also stick to it. And during winter, it's just after harvest. So we take all our animals to those lands that we harvested. In a way, we rest our camps. So come the time that we need to prepare for the sale, we need to do soil preparations. It's after the first spring. So we start preparing our lands and then take the animals back to the grazing camps. So in that way, it works for us. So we don't experience any problems. Unless, of course, we can encounter fence fire problems, which we've got trees we haven't experienced in. Then we can have a challenge. But at the moment, we don't. Because we also have a backup of buildings. We built just before the planting season. From one of the lands that we did not use. So before we did that land, we cut the crowd there and new buildings. So they will come have backup should anything go wrong during winter.
I'm quite interested to understand, Mr. Masiu, how do you decide what is more important? Looking at a farm that is as diversified as yours, you have the cattle, you've got the sheep, you've got the maize and the sunflower. Yeah. When challenges arise, how do you as a farmer determine, okay, what is most important?
As you always say, farming is business. I guess if you check first which one can give you income, should anything go wrong. Now, with crops, we know if crops, you know, can make a whole lot of money. Now, there are a lot of challenges because, for example, after the planting, you must know how to pray in tongues in all these languages. Because there is nothing that you can do. You can only pray after doing everything types. Now, this livestock, you know, should you express crop or anything, you take number of livestock for sale, and then in the amount that you're going to get there, the other man will keep this remaining livestock alive. And also, you need to pay for your test and rate. You also need to live from there. So for me, on this part, what is more important is cattle. Even though most of our money needs it from the cranes, but what is most important is missing the cattle because you can even bring even with them. But with plants, if you get flat, you're frost. If you get drought, you're frost. But if there's good season, they will make a lot of money.
That's quite interesting. You mentioned the finance aspect of it. How do you approach that, the financial management, and also when it comes to budgeting for your farm and the different operations that are within it? What is your approach like?
I think the biggest challenge that we are facing as farmers is drawing a difference between income and profit. Most of us think after visiting or after saving our winter cows or whatever that one might sell from the farm, whatever we are getting is profit. And it doesn't work like that. I think that's where most of us fall. It doesn't work like that. You must know all your input costs, be it on livestock or on cranes. You must know all your input costs. You subtract everything there. And then whatever remains is your profit. And that makes things very easier. Again, you must have a financial advisor and people who are doing your books. They will also help you with budgeting and everything going forward. But if you don't have such and you are saying you're going to do the entire sort, in my name, you say it's a sort, you're just going to do things just like that, the whole do it. Then it won't work for you. Because you are living in a rapid pace rent, whereby you have to acclimatize to everything that comes into place.
You mentioned the importance of a financial advisor. Was there ever a time where you did not have a financial advisor? And were there any mistakes that you made as a farmer?
There was a time where we didn't have a financial advisor that we were just doing things with the little knowledge that we had. We thought we have everything in place. Now that got us in hot water. We're doing the technical and stuff. So we got banned. But fortunately, we managed to pay whatever that was due to the taxman. And from that very moment, we let us know we are not going to do things that way. They might be good, quick funding operations, but the other side, there are people who, you know, who can do these things best for us. So I think we'll be staying in business because if we lose this starting business, then we have nothing.
And I mean, no one wants to get in trouble with a taxman, eh?
You don't want to be in trouble with the taxman. You can see the business with. You can have this country, but not the taxman.
But the taxman. How do you, what are your markets? Maybe starting with the livestock. Who are your market for your livestock? And then you can take me through the maize and the sunflower.
Yeah. Before I really define the mother taxes, however, my opinion, you need to make sure that you have a mother cattle broader. Like, for instance, now I've just went to Bosmara, so I'm a step breeder, I'm studying. Many people are saying it's tough, but I said, no, it's not tough. Doing the right things that I do, it's not tough. For me to be part of such a reputable brand, this means I have to make sure that I have marketable products. So once I have marketable products, it will be easy for me to get the market. And for livestock, I have just built a relationship with Fernic I've loved you a relationship with this gentleman, Alban. How can I forget his name? He has a cute lot. So they are going to buy direct from me. And they are going to give me a premium price since I've joined what marriage. So that's part of identifying market access. You cannot want a market that's in your premium wood product that's not done in the US $10 million. You cannot do that. And again, we place, we have lent us a monitor who have passed with our clubs to check which market offers a better deal. Again, the level farmer, you must make sure that whatever you're producing is marketable. Before we give that the amount of money that we're going to get from the overall for our product, you must make sure that your product is at that price. It's same goes with applying for a job. You cannot just jump and go to, you know, the remuneration package and stuff before taking the requirement. You must first check the requirement if you are qualified for that job before you can jump to the remuneration.
And congratulations on the move with the Bonsmara stud breed. That's quite exciting. Hopefully your Bonsmaras have the brand mark and not the ones without the mark. Because I've been seeing farmers with their Bonsmaras without the mark.
No, you got the mark, it's not the Bonsmaras.
Tell me, how do you stay competitive in the market?
Every part of agriculture all covers that are offered. Nothing, most things we are offered for free. I mean, you can never say, you know, everything that is out. Like I said, you are reading me a repetitive change you went. So you must be able to adjust and adjust to those. Because at the end of the day, we are the price takers, not the price makers. So whatever the market requires, you're not being able to provide. And that helps us to stay relevant and competitive in this business. And I make sure that I attend almost every farmer's day that I do, because there is new information for every farmer's day, you know, that is taking place. And also, having mentors and monitors helps a lot, because this guy will give the most important information that you need. Because money in those cases, they are waiting for the companies that are driving this industry. If you don't know what the industry requires or needs from you, then you won't be competitive. You won't be able to maximize the profit.
True. After this conversation, it's clear that you understand the importance of managing risks when it comes to farming. That's why you have a maize unit. You also have a sunflower unit. So you understand the importance of diversifying your risk. What is your advice to a farmer that's listening to this episode right now? They want to get to the level that you are. What is your advice to that farmer?
When in interview, I will be able to step me into farmers.
Yes. Please, you have to explain though.
They don't get to say this one. I'll say to our fellow farmers, number one, stay on the farm. And number two, try your level best to do the right things the right way. Mm-hmm. Don't do manga business and, you know, expect miracles. It doesn't take miracles on this business, in this business. It takes a real hard work, literally so. We should try to, there are things that are beyond our control as farmers, like stock safety, like fell fire, like this weather condition. They are beyond our control. That we must try to manage whatever we can to stay afloat. We must try to manage, because they say if you can't manage, you cannot manage. So we must try to manage whatever the risk that are put to us. We cannot stop them, but we can really try to manage them by being on the farm, by knowing everything that is going on in your farm. Number is, if a cow does not give you calves every year, then you have to get rid of that cow, because it is not paying the rent. If you're a livestock farmer, until you become a livestock farmer, you are a crop farmer. So only thing, how or whatever animal you want to find is just eating your crops without any benefit of them. Yeah. I mean, this cow, I always tell you, this cow, you don't need a cow that looks like his universe. It doesn't need a cow that gives you a cow every year, that's it.
So the lesson is, stop your manga business and stop being a Bluetooth farmer. What an inspiring farmer. I definitely look forward to finally meeting him in person at our upcoming Mzansi Young Farmers in Daba. How do farmers handle the situation when their cow gives birth to conjoined twins? Well, livestock farmer Ipeleng Kwadi recently faced this challenge. Let's hear her perspective on the options available in such a predicament.
Hello everyone, my name is Ipeleng Kwadi Saboni, a Northwestborn cattle farmer. Our experience with conjoined twins over the past weekend came as a shock. And of course, the calf was discovered by one of our workers at the farm on Saturday morning. And immediately he took the pictures and sent to us. So we were shocked. I mean, immediately my husband had to drive to the farm to check if everything is okay. And on his arrival, the calf was struggling to stand up and it was shaking as if it was dizzy. But eventually it didn't make it. Of course, the vet said conjoined twins are uncommon. Though he has seen many abnormalities with cattle, he has seen calves with extra legs, which of course most of the farmers responded to the same to my post on social media. And he has also seen most of the calves with missing pieces, like we had one of our cows with 3 legs. So he said deformalities are rare but not surprising. But the most thing that was raising eyebrows is that the cow gave birth to the twins naturally, as they usually need veterinary assistance. So he advised us to consider culling the mother or not keeping any of the offsprings at all. So yeah, we had most mixed emotions over the past weekend, but I guess this will give us a good case study and it might solve certain challenges or problems. So I'm glad most of my friends on social media, they responded, and especially on Twitter, the post received most of the reactions, and most of the farmers from across the continent, they've been sharing their experience, but this was something else.
Join us again next time when we meet another seasoned steward of the earth, ready to guide the next generation of farmers. Also, be sure to not miss the exclusive article covering this episode. Make sure you visit www.foodformzanzi.co.za. To our amazing audience of farmers and agriculture enthusiasts, thank you for joining us. Remember to subscribe to our podcast on your favorite platform so you never miss any of these episodes. From me, Duncan Masiwa, our technical producer, Megan van der Vent, and the rest of hashtag Team Food from Zanzi, may your fields be fertile and your harvests bountiful.